This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Oh, Shania Twain. Welcome to Transmission Time and a big thank you to Jade and Dave from Different Strokes. This is the 400th episode of Transmission Time. We used Shania Twain way back in the mid-90s, I think, Jane.
I think it was.
It was Jane Lauren. We have Rebecca in the studio tonight as well. On the show tonight, well, you can't hide over there, darling. I know you're not going to say anything, but we know you're there. On the show tonight, we look back at the highlights and lowlights. That's you over there, isn't it? Of 400 shows and what it's meant to Jane and I over the 12 years that we've been doing Transmission Time. But first, Princess, how was your Christmas?
Well, it's been one of those weeks again, Lauren, and I wish it would just go away so I could have like a normal life before Christmas. Everybody wants you to get everything done before Christmas. I hate that.
Not about the council and legislation, aren't you?
No, I suppose one of the things I'm talking about is our council and getting my tractor fixed so I could do my slashing. I actually finally got the tractor fixed after about 3 or 4 weeks of hunting around. And I then spent 2 solid days driving it around, cutting the grass on my place. Now, it wasn't because my place is so big. It's just there's a lot of trees on my place and the council doesn't like you knocking them over. They get very upset if there's a little tree and you run over it.
But they don't like you having long grass either, is that
right?
No,
they don't.
Not when you've got that marijuana patch in the middle somewhere and they can't pick
that.
Don't
tell people about that. Yeah, that's not allowed. Unfortunately, I did knock over a couple of little trees that happened to get in the way. It's very hard to drive a big machine between little gaps. It just doesn't work.
But anyway. And a big hi to anyone out there driving a car on a truck route at the moment.
Yeah, you might have the same problem. One of the problems I had, parts of my place are very steep, and I won't drive on those because I feel unsafe, and I've heard too many stories of tractors turning over and crushing people. So, yeah, be careful. After I finished that sort of marathon job, it was up to the country for Christmas, and then I had to come back on Monday just so I could do some preparation for the show. We've actually put a lot of thought into this one, and Rebecca, we have to think for a lot of the planning as well. Did you say no, go away? And when I got back to Melbourne, I realised I'd missed quite a big storm. At my place, there were these leaves all over the place. And I don't mean sort of one or two here and there, but some of the areas where nothing grows at our place, it was green, which was unusual. It's just all these leaves. So what happened, Lauren? There must have been something.
Well, there's an effing great storm, Jane. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it on the news.
Well, I didn't turn the TV on until actually yesterday. Monday, I just left it off.
That's a ticket, keeping up with the world.
Well, yeah, I know.
It was like the end of the world, the very Doctor Who Christmas special, but without the aliens, although you're here tonight. So.
Now.
It was a monster. Yeah. Did you have trouble?
The only damage that we had was basically our driveway, which is now like a four-wheel drive track and a very well-worn one at that. And trying to drive a little car down it's a bit of a problem. But there was no trouble with our house. That was all fine. But our next-door neighbours didn't quite fair as well. They had water through their roof. All their bedding was wet. All their clothes were wet. I think they're going to have quite a big sort of clean-up bill. But our place was quite good. Not a problem at all. The only thing that we sort of really lost was one of our wheelie bins. Where we have a crossing across basically like a dry creek. Except the creek must have been running very high because it's about three feet above to the road. And we found one of our wheelie bins about 300 or 400 metres down the road. Just got washed away. So we haven't retrieved it yet. That's probably a job for tomorrow.
But, oh, really?
Yeah.
What is it, the 28th today? The storm's on Christmas.
Yeah, but
it just can't be. Pull the tractor down there. Or did the tractor go with it?
No, but if I tried to get the tractor down there, it would get bogged. And I don't want to get bogged in this area either. So
it's a tractor.
Yeah, but it doesn't work on very soft ground, like in a creek. It's not one of these amphibious tractors, right? Yeah, so that's about me. How about you?
Well, for your information, clearly you weren't here. The rain started about lunchtime, just as we were all sitting down to a nice outside barbecue.
Oh,
and
that's
very
nice.
Then it poured, then it chucked it down, and then it got really bad. We had quite big hailstones. I'm not as far north as you, because you were probably in the epicentre of it all, I think. But just as one of my sort of friends was leaving in his new BMW, all the big hailstones started.
Oh!
But I don't know if he got home okay. He's not that close a friend. I don't care. He shouldn't have turned up in the BMW, really.
Showy off, was he?
Yeah, it kept bucketing down pretty much until the water started coming in my front door. So I had to sober up and start sweeping the lake onto my neighbour's garden, which is quite flooded now, just quietly. About four swimming pools later, it was under control and the heavy rain had kind of slowed to a manageable level that, you know, next door's garden could cope with. And when I woke up on Boxing Day like you, I had to spend most of my hangover shovelling my driveway back from next door.
Well, that's the sort of problem I've got, but all the driveway is actually on my property.
Oh, not so good. I had friends come over on Boxing Day who don't get on with my Christmas Day friend for a very pleasant lunch in a sunny afternoon. And one of the girls is down from Darwin said it was nicer up there than in the cyclone than it was in Melbourne for Christmas Day. But anyway, look, my big thing about this week has been the shopping.
It's horrible, isn't it?
It's just, it's not a good time. And as I was walking around, I was carrying a pen and paper, making notes. It was that or kick people, because I just want a pleasant shopping experience.
You won't get that at Christmas.
And I've worked out seven things that people can do to make my personal shopping experience more pleasant. One, if you're walking slower than me, go home. And look, I'm all for affection in public, but if you're linking arms or holding hands with another adult, bonk, hug in the afterglow and come back. Do whatever, but just there's no need for it. The aisles aren't that big. Number three is thongs. Not a thong person, never have been. They're too slow. Take them off, put on shoes or go home. If you're there to browse, you're not shopping. If you're wandering around slowly in thongs, you're in my way and I'm there trying to shop. That's pre and post Christmas. And that goes the same for prams, pushers, those drivey things that people go along with. Either keep to the left or keep to the right, but not in the middle. And watch where you're going, because my ankles don't have stop signs on them. And, you know, people with pushers just don't get it. Anyway, four, don't drive to the shops if you don't normally drive to the shops. So the amount of people on the roads who just don't get it, you know, they're probably 700-800 years old and they don't normally drive. But they decide that Christmas Eve is the time to go out and get shopping. And, of course, I've left mine at the last minute. Yes, I know that's
usual,
my fault.
Yes.
You know, if someone's packing a shopping trolley full of food into the boot of their car, there's no need to wait. The other 16 of us can get through and let the woman at the back, she can park in the parking spot, go find another one. There's nothing wrong with walking 50 metres, parking 50 metres from the shops and walking, unless you're wearing thongs. Number five, meeting places, not at the end of an escalator.
That always annoys me. The number of people is basically go down or up an escalator and then stop right at the top.
Doncaster Shopping Town, I don't know why they have escalators. There should be some kind of move on sign at the end. Yeah, you're right. There's get off or wait at the bottom. Oh, there's some old friends I haven't seen for a while. Instead of moving out the way and having a chat, let's just do it right here.
I found the same thing at railway stations in the city too.
I don't do public transport.
I know.
Number six, if you're going to buy it, then get the hell out of the lane. Or if the first credit card you tried didn't work, whether it's overspent, whether you've forgotten your PIN number, or whether you've stolen somebody else's credit card, don't care. You should have to go to the back of the queue and try again. But this, oh no, that one doesn't work. Oh, can I get another? Oh, hang on. Look, I think I've got another card in here. Not for me. I'm trying to shop.
That's very similar to people who go to the ATM, they put their first card in, oh, wrong PIN number or something, and they go through several cards trying to get money out of the machine.
And all these things happen when you haven't got a gun.
And you'd be very dangerous with a gun.
I just find it awkward. And number seven, if you park your car within 6 inches of my driver door, don't expect your wing mirrors to work when you get back. And if you dent my car with your door that's parked 6 inches away, there will be an axe head in your windscreen waiting for you when you get back. I'm not stressed. I'm just shopping. That's all. That's
written and authorised by Lauren.
Anyway, if anyone wants to complain about any of those, sorry, you get that.
You're listening to Transmission Time, well, the 400th edition of Transmission Time with Jane and Lauren on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transmission Time on Joy 94.9 with Jane and Lauren.
And that's me. Rebecca joins us also in the studio tonight.
She's going to
help
ladies.
Us. Hello. She's going to help us look back over 12 years of Transmission Time. And as such, she'll be asking the questions, very well organised, Jane, for a change, while Jane and I answer them. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on 400 shows. Now, I remember many, many years ago, actually, you said you'd like to get me into do an interview one day. I didn't think it'd be this way around, though, Jane, from actually being the one in the Laurie Oakes position, holding onto a milkshake.
We have done an interview with you a few weeks back, but, you know.
Oh, sort of, yeah. Anyway, as I said, congratulations on the 400 shows. Now, what I'd like to do is go back in your past a little bit, because I've done a little bit of digging and found out transmission time started at 11 p.m. on the 1st of February 1999, 12 years ago. Just under 12 years. That's a difference. Millennium.
Yes, it was.
Now, the most obvious question out of all this is, how did it all get started?
Well, way back in about, I think it was late 1998, Joy actually called for expressions of interest for new programs. And at that time, a friend, Katrina, who's a member of Seahorse, with Lauren and I at the same time, she basically suggested that we put a little presentation to them about doing a transgender-based radio program, because there wasn't one in Melbourne at the time. At that time, it was a requirement that all new program proposals had to do a little demo tape.
Yeah.
I think it was 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And as I had the technical knowledge and equipment to actually put this thing together.
She had a tape recorder and a mic.
I had four microphones, if I remember rightly.
And a nice sized bathroom to record it all in.
No, we actually sat around Katrina's kitchen table with copious hot drinks. Actually, there might have been some alcoholic stuff in there. I don't remember now. But we basically sat around with four microphones, two tape recorders, or cassette recorders, and this little mixer. And we put this little demo together. And I think it actually took a couple of hours to do about 15 minutes.
So the show really hasn't changed that much in
12
years.
Probably not, no.
No. What about you, Lauren? Where did it all start?
Well, they accepted our proposal, fortunately. And we're given that to our graveyard shift. I think it was 11 o'clock on Monday night, wasn't
it? Ouch.
11 till 1 Monday nights.
Yes.
We were lucky enough to have, there was this wonderful man, and I can't remember his name. He was one of the Vic Bears, a very hairy thing he was. And there was yourself, me, Sally and Katrina sitting around the other side of the desk, all hair and makeup. But in those days, Joy was only had the part-time frequency sharing arrangement. And one of the other community radio stations was a Muslim station. So we found ourselves, after 2 hours discussing transgender issues and talking to the camp cabbie, I think he was our only listener in those days, playing 80s music. And then you switch us over and there was a call to prayer. I think that's why there was a prayer. Yeah.
It was very interesting, that was.
Now, you mentioned there were four of you to begin with. Who were the others you first got
Jane
started?
Jane killed them.
No, I didn't.
She's been working on me. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not drinking a cup of tea from Jane ever again.
The original four was Katrina, Lauren, Sally and myself. But on a regular basis, we had David, Hillary and I think it was Sarah.
Hillary?
No, David.
Two separate people. Wasn't he a mountain climber?
No, separate people, Lauren.
Edmund Hillary, sorry.
And from about October, I think it was 2004, Sally left to pursue other interests, as a lot of the other people did. And we carried on sort of a transmission time. There's been a few times that we thought of giving up, but we've stuck in there.
No, please don't go. Keep doing the show forever.
Well, I can't do it forever. You know, I am human. I do have a lifespan. And I basically took on the role of being the program's producer. And I've been doing that ever since.
Sorry about that.
I'm quite happy to let you do it, Lauren. Of course, there's so many other sort of part-time presenters who stood in for either of Lauren and I when one of us wasn't able to do it. And I think the most noticeable would have to be Michael, who is a female-to-male transsexual, who did tend to drop the F word a bit, which I thought was not bad for an ex-nun.
We've had a lot of presenters and a lot of guests drop the F word, but I think Michael, with his nun training, perhaps dropped it. I think he held the record. I think it was in the mid-20s, I think, one night.
Those years of repenting.
Yeah, I think so. And the vow of silence. You know, once they let him speak, once he transitioned to male and they let him speak, it was just F this and F that. And you know, during the breaks, Michael, we're probably not supposed to say that word. Oh, no, F and worries. And away we went. So
replace the vow of poverty with the vow of profanity.
That's the one. Yes.
Now, by radio program standards, transmission time being on air for 12 years is a long time. Do you know of any other transgender-based programs out there?
I think we just beat Grubby and Dee Dee. We just got the sack on whatever that other morning radio show is in terms of length. I don't know of any. There's There's been a few internet stations, but I don't believe there's any free-to-air stations been going as long as Transmission Hub, or any free-to-air transgender radio programs been going as long as we have on Joy.
There's only two other programs that I know I've found over the years, which is Sally with her program Out of the Pan on 3CR, I think Sundays, Queer Action on 2XX in Canberra, which is a community station up there, and they have rotating hosts, and one of them, Stephanie, does a transgender-based program every couple of weeks. On the internet, I have a friend in Bowling Green, Ohio, who does a program called Trans Talk on Falcon Radio.
Do they call it Falcon Radio?
It's called Falcon Radio.
Oh, really? Do you turn up the Falcon Radio when it's too quiet? Or?
I don't know. Okay. Well,
have you been holding onto your Falcon Radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it used to be a low-power AM station, but from what I found out from Marlene last night, that it's now only cable-based in the local area and internet-based. The longest web-based program that I found is Gender Talk, hosted by Nancy and Jordan, which started in 1977 and has a similar number of shows under their belt as us.
There was no web in 1977.
So this actually makes Transmission Time the second oldest transgender program in the world that we know of, and it's the oldest free-to-air transgender program in the world.
Certainly feel that way.
So do we get to claim the Southern Hemisphere proportion then, at least? Gender Talk is Northern Hemisphere?
Yes.
So
yes.
Not too bad effort there. Now, apart from the on-air hours, which, how much time over the course of 400 episodes have you actually spent working on the show?
In the early part, probably not very much, but once I basically took over as producer, I'd say that it takes me about 2 days per week. Mm-hmm. And since I started about show 200, it basically means about 400 days that I've spent doing research, which is sort of like a year and a bit or something.
Yeah, no, my maths isn't the greatest. I just panel. What about yourself, Lauren?
And I'm just thinking, and if we got perhaps a 16-year-old who's used to using the internet to do it, and perhaps Word and what have you, they probably could have cut that down to maybe 4 hours.
They probably could have too.
I guess the other commitment is that, you know, apart from the time, is the cost. You know, petrol, parking, copious quantities of champagne before the show starts, which always reduces Jane's available cash to fund her frequent cosmetic surgeries and tractor repairs. So, you know, it's
don't give too much away.
It's been quite a... Everyone knows you've repaired your tractor.
I know that.
It's almost become tractor talk, not not transgender talk of the last few weeks.
But for myself, I generally turn up about 7:45 and complain that she's not ready or too tanked to start.
And where's Lauren?
Yes, that happens quite often.
I'm almost always here on time.
Got to give you a bit of a break from the Gab Fest that it is tonight for the 400th show here. And look, if you're out there and you actually want to get involved with the show, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or send us an email onair@joy.org.au. A short break and we'll be back soon with more Transmission Time.
You're listening to Transmission Time, number 400 on Joy 94.9.
And can I just say, There was a message there about hide and seek with Dean Beck, and I can't remember the other chap's name, but they were on the other night doing Christmas shows, doing Christmas carols, mm-hmm. naughty Christmas carols, and it's honestly worth getting the podcast. If you don't mind swearing, there's some fabulously bad language in there and some Christmas carols that you really, really want to play at a Christmas party for grown-ups.
So anyway, not really safe for work kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm amazed. I mean, there's some words you shouldn't play on the radio, and our program director, or whatever Dean is these days, I think he played all of them.
Well done. It's certainly one to get. Just go to the Joy website for that, I'm guessing.
I think so. I think they put the podcast up every week. No, we've had an email.
We have. It's congratulations, Transmission Time team, for 400 shows and 12 years. Gosh, it feels like only yesterday when Sally Goldner... Thanks for giving your free time to do Transmission Time. And that's from Betty.
Thank you, Betty.
Now, the interrogation doesn't stop there, ladies. Now, we're still getting on to quite a lot more questions. So much to get through over 12 years. It's amazing how it all builds up, isn't it? But over the years, you've both covered a great variety of topics and interviews. But what's been the biggest highlight for you on Transmission Time?
Well, there's supposed to be highlights? Yeah. Really? Look, I think the... there were some inspirational guests we interviewed many, many years. We interviewed ago. We interviewed a mum who was supporting a 7-year-old in gender assertions. You know, born a little boy, assured everyone that she was a little girl, And this mum was interviewed in tears on our show and just dealing with the hundreds of difficulties that this young transgender girl faced, everyday school, an unaccepting dad, just everything. And that was very inspirational for me. But there's also the ordinary trans people that we've talked to, dealing with just their simple day-to-day issues of family, discrimination. And of course, then there's the trans people who we've reported on who've lost their lives because of their gender affirmation. So they've all been good. But there's also been this non-gender variant people who kind of stand up for us and try to help, like the psychiatrist Dr. Bow, who passed away, and Fintan Hart, who's now running the Monash Shump Gender Dysphoria Program, who've moved from like surgery gatekeepers to people who feel they can help us on our journey. And there's also the health professionals we've talked to who deal positively with trans issues, such as men with vaginas and ovarian problems. And
we actually had that up on the show a couple of weeks ago, that there was a letter go out to gynecologists throughout America saying, look, you're going to be getting a lot more trans men coming in, that just treat them with a bit of respect.
Yeah, yeah, because they generally, they're so difficult to make a penis that most trans men, and I guess that's a generalisation, they either use a phallus or they simply just get on with what they already have. And they can still get ovarian cancer. So, you know, they've got to go to the gynecologist and get things checked out, and, you know, good on the health professionals that do look after this, because there's not many that do. And, of course, all the activists out there who want to make the world a better place for all people, especially us, or including us. What about you, Jane?
Well, for me, a couple of things come to mind. First, I think it would have to be one of the interviews that we did with Georgina Bayer. She was the world's first transsexual politician. And the thing that stands out was that during the interview from her parliamentary offices in New Zealand, there was a minor earthquake. Now, delving through some of our...
So you don't care that she's the world's first parliamentarian, but, ooh, there's an earthquake.
Well, it's the earthquake that I always remember as part of that interview. Now, delving through the archives, I found the moment in the interview where Georgina is talking about how she accidentally got into politics.
I was working in a community centre situation. We had other people who were also affected in quite a negative way, i.e. Homelessness, stuff like that. And we tried to do some work to assist them and asked our local district council or shire council, as you would know them, to get some assistance from them, and they bluntly refused. And all they needed to provide us was a powered caravan site at the council-owned caravan park, and they wouldn't do it because they believed that this was a government, central government central role to play. And we disagreed, and I was sort of pushed forward as the one to make our submissions to the district council, and apparently I did it very well and with a degree of success. And therein started people looking at me saying, gee, we think you might be quite good to run for the local council at the next council elections, which happened in 92, and so my political career began. Right out of left field, I certainly wasn't expecting it. I hadn't striven for it. But the opportunity came along and I took up the challenge.
It's born out of activism, isn't it? It just activism kind of is born out of need. Politics, one would hope, good politicians are born out of activism, a desire to do something.
Well, that's right. What I started to realise was I wasn't just doing it because I had a selfish reason for wanting to get something at the end of the day out of it. Then became a wider issue that other people, and not just gay, I might, you know, on things like benefit cuts and stuff like that, that's a universal problem that could happen to anyone. And so the people in Carterton at that time, whom I guess I was sort of somewhat advocating for to help out this particular situation, which I must say didn't last for long, about 2 or 3 months, and we were able to alleviate the stress that was going on in our community. But then the general community were appreciative of my contribution, and it wasn't just me, I have to say. Of course, there was a little team of us that worked on it. And therein began the sort of, oh, who cares if she's a gutty tranny, she did all right by us.
Yep. Fantastic.
We're just having an earthquake, would you believe? My God.
What, now?
I'm sitting here in my penthouse apartment in Wellington at the Parliament, and we've just had an earthquake. Ooh. It would be the third one today.
Very strong one, Georgina?
No, just a bit of a rumble. Oh. Sorry about that. I just get a little fright after the recent events of December 26th.
My word, yes, just hit the high ground. As soon as we're done, go and just climb the stairs, I think, just to be sure.
Well, you've got a scoop there, you've got it live. You've got it before probably the rest of New Zealand has.
Live as it happens.
Well, we'll take that as a scoop.
The second highlight that I remember was actually an interview with Lauren Hare and Ian Muchamore from the Prince Henry's Institute. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the research that Lauren was actually doing, not our Lauren, was doing on a particular gene.
I don't do research.
You don't do research?
We've noticed that over 400 shows. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been very obvious. Some research that she was doing that found that in male-to-female transsexuals, there was a gene which was a little bit longer than in non-transsexual males. Now, for me sort of personally, having a genetic reason for being transsexual, I suppose you say it's good news because it helps put to bed our protractors who say being transsexual is all about sex and lifestyle choice, which we know it's not. Now, I remember Dr. Herbert Bauer back in the 90s saying that he believed that transsexualism was genetically based, and this was basically the cause for it, but he did not have the resources to take this any further. And it's a pity that he didn't see this theory justified.
There's variations in all genes, so there's longer bits and shorter bits.
I've been working with an abnormality for 9.5 years now.
So we looked at three genes, but in one particular, which is the androgen receptor, there's a certain sort of repeat in it, and you can have a longer version of this, you can have a shorter version. So it sort of varies across everyone, the entire population. And we compared this particular repeat length in male to female transsexuals and just a general population of males. And we found that this repeat tended to be longer. It's a weak association, but it is a significant association that male to female transsexuals had a longer version of this particular repeat in this gene. So
then the general community, then like a sample case of normal.
Yeah.
Let's not use that word.
No, just non-transsexual males, yes. I guess you would say. Okay. So then we're trying to think of how this may be influencing. We don't know exactly the biology of what this might be doing, but we're sort of hypothesizing or sort of thinking that it may affect the testosterone action during development in the brain and the masculinization of the brain. So whether they're being under masculinized or over feminized, we're not 100% sure.
Okay.
So, I love the way you cut me off.
No,
Lauren Hare there from Prince Henry's Institute talking about the gene research she'd done.
Correct. Yes.
And the full podcast about those interviews are available on the Joy website.
Correct.
Along with quite a few other bits and pieces, isn't there, Jane?
Yeah. Yes, there's quite a few interesting ones there. There's one on surgery, which we'll talk a little bit about later. A few interviews. There's actually one in there which was with me and my partner. Yes, she's.
Yeah, she's awake.
We can see her through the double glass.
Yeah, she's having a bit of a listen. There's quite a variety. One that's actually interesting in there is an interview with the son of a person who transitioned, male to female, and it's basically how it affected their family.
Yeah, that was a great interview, actually. I enjoyed listening to that one myself when I was doing research for the show ages ago. It was like, wow, this guy's actually really switched on about it.
Yes, he was, yeah.
And then it wasn't just the usual thing, oh, it's all about me. It was actually, no, I've got to remove myself from the situation and look at it from a holistic point of view. So, yeah, it was great. Now, if either of you could go back and change anything that has happened with the show, what would it be?
Oh, I can't say while Jane's in the room.
Neither can I.
But I think it's just evolved as things do, really. We're older and wiser and we drink a lot more now. But we're still kind of reporting on life. Well, I need to. I'm with you.
True,
we're still kind
true.
Of reporting on life from a transgender perspective. And I guess we don't get too many complaints, mostly because we get the emails first and we delete them before anyone reads them. What about
very
you,
clear.
Jane? Could you change anything? And be very wary. I was quite stressed earlier on.
Well, I've actually sort of been relatively happy the way TMT has developed over the years. I was listening to some early episodes in preparation for tonight, and the show really has gone under a little bit of transformation over the years. The early shows were what I'd term a little bit frivolous.
Oh, and they're not now?
Well, they're not quite as frivolous as they used to be. There's one show I think we were talking about trying to get the names of TV programs that had lawyers in them. And I don't think we got very much response out of that one. But over years, I think the show has matured into basically an information-based program, looking at life from a transgender perspective. And part of the show that is involved, and is usually the first segment every week, is what's happened in the last week to us. Mm. It's a very important little segment. Its purpose is just to talk about our everyday lives.
And how boring they are some weeks.
Well, they are. Well, everybody's life has some highlights and they have lowlights, but what the segment tries to say is that, okay, if you're trans, you don't have to be stuck at home. You can get out there and enjoy life and do the things that other people do.
Well, speaking as the woman who's been driving a tractor for the last week in her back paddock.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's getting out there.
Well, it's part of getting out there. It's just about our everyday lives. Yes, and yes, a tractor happens to be part of my life. Sorry.
Look, fair enough. Now,
very emotive.
Just before we do get on with this, I know we've got some questions here to keep going, but I've actually got a little something for both of you. Neither of you knew this is happening now.
This is good radio.
One for you. Well, you'll have to give us a bit of description as we go along. And that if you'd just like to, we've got some little gold bags here, and there's something inside. Now, Jane's dipping in, and she's looking very embarrassed through the makeup. And
yes. It's wrapped up in purple paper.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. It feels as though it might have a handle on it.
I think the only thing gold about it was the bag. I'm not sensing jewellery.
No, the bags were the only... That was the only two that had the same colour.
There's no diamonds cutting my fingers either.
No, sorry. Budget didn't stretch that far.
Oh, hello. It's a cup.
It's a cup, and it says, congratulations, Jane and Lauren, 400 wonderful episodes of Transmission Time. And it's got the Joy logo on one side, and on the other side, the standard transgender symbol.
How did you get this made?
I actually designed that myself and looked around for printers and found a printer and had them printed up, and they arrived about a week ago.
I'm sure I saw these in Target last week.
No, not like they are two of a kind. They're the only ones that are out there.
Two originals. Thank you, Rebecca. That's very nice.
But the only problem is you can't use them in here because we do have a no drinking policy in the studio. Yes. You'll have to wait till afterwards.
I can scull whiskey out of that.
Or coffee.
That's true. Well. Coffee mug. Yeah, I can use it for coffee as well. Now,
hot chocolate, yes.
Yes. Now, getting back to the show, and after so many shows on a specific topic, surely you must be running out of ideas by now, or you're surprised by the amount of new stuff that keeps popping up.
Well, there always seems to be a continuous stream of topics to talk about. You know, we live in a very active world, and things things are always on the move. Yes, we do cover
Julia Gillard, Jane.
Well,
are we moving forward yet? Go on,
Yes, we are moving forward. We do seem to cover the same issues, you know, over and over again, but they're often from different countries. The slant on them is different. I suppose it's just the way the world is. Yes, I do get a little bit upset seeing the same sort of stories every week. And when they're bad stories, like the ratio of bad to good stories is quite high. You see very few good, inspiring stories. You see lots of really sort of bad stories. And it does tend to get a bit depressing. Now, one of the comments you made, Rebecca, when you first came on the show, was that when you transitioned, you'd basically put the transgender community behind you, only to find the same issues were still there, so basically some years later, when you actually sort of started coming on the show. How do you feel about having those issues still there after such a period of time?
Look, I reckon I'd have to say it's a bit of a mixed bag, really, Jane. I was annoyed that the issues were still there, but also in a much better mindset to know what I could do about them personally and where I could help out. And initially I thought I sort of could take on the world and fix it all because I am trans woman kind of thing.
The queen.
Wear my underwear on the outside, big flowing coat, that kind of stuff. But now I know that just doing the little things that I can to help out sort of helped break down the bigger issues that are out there. And then what about yourself, Lauren?
I forgot the question.
Well, after so many shows, surely you must be running out of topics by now. Things just keep popping up over and over again, or what happens?
I was having a sleep with your partner outside, Jane. I really should pay attention. We're on air, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the certain topics that come up time and time again, you know, toilets, discrimination, vilification and abuse, all the good things, often systemic vilification and abuse. It'd be nice when we just report on fashion, you know, transgender sporting achievements and Rebecca's tattoos.
There's only two of them, so that's only 1 week's worth of stuff. But
two visible ones, Rebecca. We don't know. We don't know about the other stuff.
Well, we should take a break so I can show you that there are no more, and you can also put your pants back on.
Full body scans, okay.
And we'll be back shortly here on Transmission Time. And you're back at Transmission Time, and Lauren has put her pants back on and joined us back in the studio. And welcome back to your 400th show.
You have more tattoos than I do. We've confirmed that. And
yes.
Jane has some interesting piercings.
Yeah, we can't quite go into that one, though.
No.
But I was just surprised how many dozen of them there are.
Well, yes. And I thought it was Arthur, and you said it was Alfred. I don't know, but yes, whatever. I don't know. It's a king, prince, something. I don't know. It's very nice, though, Jane.
Thanks for pointing it at us. Now, we've got another SMS has come in. The mugs made great radio. Any chance of a photo of them on the blog? So someone actually does read the blog out there, Jane.
Which is
very
nice.
It is worth the effort.
Yes, and I actually...
That'll take Jane 4 hours to get a photo of it on the blog.
It might, too.
But just because she has to sketch it first. But yeah, no age jokes this week. But look, speaking about personal stuff, how has the show affected you both personally? Has your involvement on Transmission Time helped or hindered any personal aspects of your life?
Well, the time commitment's challenging sometimes. When you're working, Jane, when you're working,
yeah.
You don't have time to do research when you're working.
I used to do that stuff.
Working. But every now and then we get some very personal emails telling us that we've made a difference to someone's life. And I think years ago there was someone who said that they were on the verge of taking their own life and didn't. God knows they would have after listening to you. But apparently it did make a big positive difference to their life. And that's always very satisfying and kind of makes you feel good.
Just sort of letting people know they're not alone out there.
Yeah. Well, that's right, I guess. And if you Google transgender, maybe we come up somewhere and they can listen in, you know, kids listen in their bedrooms or on the web, you know, where mum and dad aren't around. So they can, you know, just do it discreetly and in private and learn a bit of stuff. I've also met some wonderful people at Joy, really. Did a couple of Mardi Gras Pride March broadcasts, which has always been fabulous and challenging at the same time. So, no, it's been good. It's been a good experience.
I think for me, it's been a little bit of personal development, especially with my confidence. I used to be a not very confident person, and I think the show has actually improved my confidence enormously. At the time, it's been a bit hard on my lovely little partner over there.
She's giving us a smile in a way.
Yes.
Still awake.
Because basically she loses me for a couple of days every week. And
now she's doing a dance.
Yeah. Maybe she's happy that she loses me for a couple of days.
Finally, Jane's gone. I can get on with life.
For this week, we went away for Christmas up country, but we had to come racing back on Monday to start doing the preparation of the show. And we will be going away later on to basically continue a holiday. And I find that basically when TMT is not on air, it's amazing how much extra time I have.
You know, really, it does add up, doesn't it?
It does. One of the things that you continue to become aware of is the amount of hate in the world against the GLBT community and the transgender community in particular. And this does get a bit depressing after a while. But the things I draw hope from is the slowly changing attitudes of some governments. Admittedly, after only being pushed by their more active citizens, but it's good to see that there's a growing trend of acceptance towards trans people, but I'm afraid it's going to be a long road to get sort of full acceptance.
Now, you sound like you're getting a bit philosophical there, Jane.
Yes, I know.
Being philosophical about it, do you think Transmission Time broadcasts to the transgender community about a broad range of subjects or to the broad community about transgender subjects?
Probably both. We tend to get emails from a wide range of people. We've had comments from trans people saying that they don't feel alone after listening to the show. I actually had a lovely handmade Christmas card from a young trans man, and there's actually more writing in it than what there was the sort of the Christmas bit. And he's basically said how much he enjoyed listening to the show and thanking Joy for actually keeping us on air for so long. Also, I had an email from a Lisbon woman that I've known for many years. Last week, I think it came in, and she was actually thanking us for the program that we did on sex reassignment surgery, because she said that she didn't know that there was so much into it, that it was as complicated as it was. And yeah, I think we do cater for quite a wide audience.
Fantastic. What about yourself, Lauren?
Oh, well, I've been asked out a couple of times, I must admit, in the early days before the photos went up on the website. And of course, Jane's had her share of stalkers too. I think she enjoys them personally. If it's true that 200,000 people tune in to Joy every week, and while most of them turn off when we get on air, you know, it's pretty certain that we're talking to a whole lot of different people. You know, we did have an email one night from a girl listening in Munich, so that the reach is probably wider than we're aware of. And look, I dare say the Pope listens in when he's free to get advice on what to wear with those red shoes of his.
Of course. Now, what's been the happiest moment on there, apart from receiving a couple of mugs? Obviously, there's been a lot more bigger highlights than that.
The mugs are now the highlight, Rebecca.
They made for great radio, such a visual show.
They're it. You know, and when's the final episode, Jane? That could be the happiest moment.
Not yet.
Any episode when we get positive feedback. I remember there was a hate mail email came in from someone complaining bitterly to station management that we'd been taken off air. And in the words Ross to Rachel, we were on a break at the time. You know, we needed a break and we had 3 months off. Someone wrote in a scathing email about why we'd been taken off and how dare they, and, you know, the transgender community deserves to be represented. And it was, oh, we're just having a break. We're having a rest. We're very sorry. I know the walking away from any show where you've not bothered to turn up and I've had to do it alone because you've been at footy training or something. That's always satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great fun doing the show on your own, isn't it?
It's great.
The talking really works well when you're chatting about the table, doesn't it?
Yes, the conversation when you're on your own. Yes.
I don't know if there's a particular show that I'm sort of happiest about. There are some shows that have been a bit challenging going from a content point of view. And I think in that category, I'd have to put the two recent programs on sex reassignment techniques and aftercare that goes with it, what Lauren often refers to as vaginal maintenance. They're fairly heavy shows as far as content goes, but the feedback that we've had has indicated that it was challenging for some of our male listeners, which I can understand.
Over dinner?
Men do tend to cross their legs when you talk about this stuff, don't they?
They do. But it's a topic that's not discussed very often, and it always seems to be sort of steeped in mystery. And I suppose what we've tried to do is remove some of that mystery.
Now, we were speaking before about people tuning in from Munich and all over the place. Via the Joy app, Andrea from Portland, Hillsborough, Oregon in the United States has said congratulations on the 400 shows.
We hope you listen to every single one of them, Andrea.
There will be a test.
Thank you.
Now, over the last 12 years, there's been a lot of news covered. What's been the biggest news story for you?
Well, apart from the earthquake in New Zealand, obviously, I think the equal opportunity legislation in 2001 was huge, where the Victorian government finally introduced legislation to allow gender variant people to preventing discrimination on the basis of your presentation. So it didn't involve surgery. It didn't involve a pat-down search and a touch between the legs. If they basically introduced legislation to say if you're in a public shopping centre and you need to go to the toilet, you go to the toilet in the gender of which you are presenting. And I think that was wonderful. It was almost groundbreaking because there was no onerous rules. There was no security guards having to come and touch you up, which is always nice. But I think that was the highlight. What about you, Precious?
It's very hard to remember back over so many stories. Lauren's point about the equal opportunity changes was certainly a big step forward for Victorian transgender people. But the one that stands out for me for Australian trans people would have to be the changes that came in earlier this year with the government changing its stance on issuing passports in your preferred gender without the need for surgical intervention. Prior to the change of policy, you could only get an Australian passport in your preferred gender if you could prove that you'd had irreversible surgery. A very big step forward.
Yeah, it's like, hey, things are slowly changing, but they're changing in the right way. It's just a bit too slow than what we...
Any step forward in human rights is a good story. Yeah.
Now, after so many shows, it can't all have been smooth sailing. What's been your worst moment on air?
Lauren's been my worst moment on air, actually.
Why?
I would like to think.
This actually goes back to the earlier days of Joy when we were at Coventry Street, South Melbourne. I'd arrived very early and I just parked my car, I think, above the South Melbourne market and was going to select the stories we're going to use that night. About 4 o'clock, I had this call from Lauren, who was in Sydney at the time on work, saying her return flight had been cancelled. Now, this sort of... But she had.
I was rebooked.
yes, for about half an hour later.
Yeah.
And so, I wasn't really worried. But then I got a call at about 4:30. Flight's been delayed again. And I got another one at about 5. And about every half hour, I had these updates of what was going to happen. And about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, I had another call. I'm still coming, but I might be a bit late.
I've had the same experience. I've got a feeling that Lauren actually pays the airlines to keep her away from the show some weeks.
It could be.
It's just, I'm enjoying the bar too much here, wherever airport she is. And
I had no intention of coming back. I just wanted to hear the podcast afterwards to see how well you coped.
And there wasn't one.
Badly.
It's very hard to do a chat show with somebody who's not there. So,
So now you know how I felt for the other 399 shows.
You're keen. It was, just a difficult show. If I'd had some warning, I could have found somewhere to come and help. But them's the breaks, as they say.
It is. And speaking of breaks, we need to take one ourselves. And Sound Museum is coming up very shortly. We've only got a few minutes to get through a few more things. And what has been an absolute bumper show here on Transmission Time at Joy 94.9. And you're back with Transmission Time. Nearly time for us to be out of here. Lauren, Jane, it's been fantastic to join you for your 400th show. And I've just got one more question for you. It's taken 12 years to get to show 400. So do you have another 18 years left in you to get to show 1,000 and beyond?
Christ. No, I've been poisoning Jane with alcohol very slowly. I don't think she'll last 12 months.
Well, You might be right there, Lauren. Maybe I might last a bit more than 12 months, but I don't think I'll be around in another 18 years.
Your partner's dancing
again,
by the way.
She'll be the bionic woman.
Yeah. I might be at that stage. I think probably trying to keep up the enthusiasm for another 18 years might be a bit on the difficult side. In many ways, it's been sort of hard work, you know, basically really getting this far. And there have been times, you know, that I have wondered, is it all worthwhile putting in the effort? But then you get the emails and the feedback and, you know, like you mentioned before. And, yes, it all becomes worthwhile.
Wonderful to hear. Now,
sounds like a commitment, but having said that, we're bailing out, aren't we, for 5 weeks?
We are, yes. Rebecca has offered to give us a little break over Christmas for a while. So
well, we've missed Christmas, but certainly the January school holidays.
Yes, yeah. Which means we can go away, which
we
means
can
very
when you're
nice.
On schoolies.
You don't
you
have to
that.
Think about the show for a while.
No,
we can listen in and send offensive emails and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can stalk me for a change. Yeah. Now, I certainly remember, hopefully some listeners remember, we had Nicole on a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Who's helping out, and she's actually going to be helping out for the show for the 5 weeks while the two of you are off sunning yourselves either on a tractor or on a beach somewhere, enjoying it.
Well, Jane will be in a hospital recovering from the tractor accident. I have no. You'll be in traction as a result.
Oh, I hope not.
It certainly has been a wonderful time. I've really enjoyed the show, and this listening in myself to this show for many years actually gave me a lot of confidence too. I put this up as a blog post on the website a while ago that this let me know that, hey, I am a normal person, okay? I've just got this little bit of a medical issue here.
Yeah.
And it was
You're comparing yourself to us as normal?
Yes, absolutely. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm not alone. This is fantastic. And just from the feedback we've got in, I can tell there's other people out there who feel the same way too. So thank you very much for all that you've done, not just here at the station, but right throughout the community in making such an effort to actually let trans issues be known out there to the wider audience and also for the people who are going through it themselves.
I guess we need to thank Katrina and Sally, who were there in the early days and kept the whole thing rolling along and got it started and made us the wonderful human beings we are today, blah, 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 blah. Or something like that.
What about you, Jane? There's got to be someone to thank at least.
Oh, I think my partner.
Why are you looking past me?
Because she's right behind you. Because she has actually given me a lot of support over the years in doing this show. I think she knows sort of how important it is. And Lauren, we need to thank you as well.
We?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Because for all the tireless hours of research and
no, for
just being there when nothing had to be done.
There has been a few times when you've actually sort of, I think, sort of saved the show for us.
Really?
Yeah.
But apart from those 399 times. No, and I need to thank you. And I need to thank you, Rebecca, for taking over and Nicole for taking over the next 5 weeks and giving us a well-earned break. It'd be nice listening in and hearing what transmission time sounds like without Jane and I on.
Mm, no, it's different.
It is time for us to get out here. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.